Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Thinking of getting a puppy? On this special edition of Dogs 101, we'll guide you step by step through everything you need to know before making this joyful and life-altering decision. How do you pick out the right puppy for you in a litter? Can butter teach these cute little nippers not to bite? What's the best way to house train your new little doggy? And why do people young and old love these adorable fluff balls? They're soft and cuddly. They bounce and pounce with wagging tails and floppy ears. Fuzzy, beautiful puppies, and we can't get enough of them.
Who doesn't like puppies? If you don't like puppies, then I would say get your eyes checked because you're missing the cutest thing alive, puppies.
And puppy breath. Oh, if only we could patent puppy breath, it would sell like hotcakes.
A puppy's features are designed to win us over.
They have these huge eyes and these short noses. They cause people to have this sort of, oh, how cute feeling.
Just like in human babies, these features trigger our nurturing instincts. In fact, when we interact with a pack of puppies, researchers say a powerful chemical called oxytocin is released in our brains.
Oxytocin is called the love hormone. It is thought that it evolved as part of a maternal caregiving system.
While only 35% of all U.S. households have a child, 63% own a pet, proving that puppies are filling empty nests and filling new roles.
There's been this transition from owning dogs as working dogs to owning dogs for the psychological need to nurture and care for.
We start at the beginning. Before you can bring home your little miracle, he has to be born. Human mothers may be a little jealous. Instead of our 9 months, a canine pregnancy typically lasts for only 9 weeks. But watch out, the litter size will vary depending on the breed.
I think the biggest litter was with a Neapolitan Mastiff who gave birth to 24 puppies, which is way off the Richter scale.
Most litters have somewhere between 5 and 12 puppies. And very small dogs, like Chihuahuas, may only be able to carry one pup at a time. This expectant mother, a Labrador named Widgeon, lives with her family, the Wagners, breeders from New Hampshire.
Dogs are not our whole life, but they make our lives whole. And that definitely describes myself and my family.
Today, they're visiting their vet for a prenatal exam.
How's she doing?
Widgeon's diet doubled in calories and will increase again when she begins to nurse.
She's so hungry.
Her due date is just 2 weeks away.
She looks very good. So you guys have any guesses on how many puppies you're going to have?
We have a pool going.
Oh, nice.
I say 7.
I say 9.
They're x-raying Widgeon today to find out how many puppies she'll deliver. But counting puppies is not an exact science. The canine uterus is shaped like the letter Y, with the branches on either side of the abdomen. While laying on her side, the branches are actually resting on top of each other, creating a pile of puppies and an obstructed view. Counting the faint circles of skulls on the x-ray, the vet estimates the expected number of puppies.
I'm thinking 7, plus or minus 1.
When she whelps or gives birth, the Wagners will know to call the vet for help if too much time lapses or the expected number of puppies don't arrive. The vet may intervene with drugs or perform a cesarean section and remove the pups surgically. Some brachycephalic breeds cannot give birth on their own, since their heads are so big and their pelvises are so small.
For example, a bulldog, you know, I think it's the rule rather than the exception, the babies are born by cesarean sections.
Delivering for this bulldog, the nurses step in and rub the pups to push the water out of their lungs and get them breathing. Mama bulldog can step back in after the anesthesia wears off to nurse. Hopefully, Widgeon will be able to skip the trip to the operating room. It's now 2 weeks later, and that magic moment has arrived. The Wagners have built a whelping box for Widgeon. It's nest-like and helps her feel secure. The box must be big enough for the dog to stretch out during delivery and to accommodate her puppies as they grow. Raised sides help keep the puppies contained as they become more precocious. Widgeon's labored breathing means the first puppy should be here very soon. Sharon is by her side to support her through the discomfort of the contractions. And here comes puppy number one.
Puppies are born with an amniotic sac completely around their body and their face, so it's important for that sac to be broken so that they can breathe.
Widgeon's first pup is a girl. Nearly a single pound, she weighs in at just 15 ounces. Nursing stimulates the mother's hormones and helps move labor along.
In the process of nursing, they're causing oxytocin to be released in the mother's brain, which is the bonding hormone, and they become inseparable in a mother and offspring.
Large breeds like Labradors usually deliver one puppy every hour, but the time between pups can stretch to 3 or 4 hours.
She absolutely knows that I'm there to support her, and I'm right by her side through the whole process, no matter how long it takes.
With 6 more on their way, it looks like it's going to be a long night.
Oh, hi, little puppy.
After 15 long hours, all of Widgeon's puppies have arrived safe and sound. 3 black, 4 yellow, 4 males and 3 females.
All the puppies were born kicking and screaming, which I'm very thankful for, but she did take a long time.
That is such a beautiful little baby.
Like Widgeon, these pups all have names that begin with W, at least for now. This one's Wanda, and this male is William. There's also Winifred, Walter, Waylon, Willow, and Wizard. Sharon uses a colored ribbon to tell them apart. For the first week or so, Widgeon's puppies are just like puppies everywhere. Blind and deaf. Sealed eyes and ears protect them during delivery.
Since they can't see and they can't hear, really by sense of smell, they find their way to one or other teat and they latch on and they start to nurse.
Just like human mothers, canine mothers produce a first milk that contains important antibodies that boost puppies' immune systems just after birth. It's called colostrum, and it's vital to puppies' development.
He's 1 pound, 6 ounces.
At Guiding Eyes, a canine development center in Paterson, New York, that breeds and trains puppies to become guide dogs for the blind, these 3-day-old lab pups are developing right on cue. They were around 1 pound each at birth,
1.74,
and are gaining about 1 ounce every day. Puppies cannot regulate their body temperature until 3 weeks of age, so this heat lamp keeps their whelping box toasty. From birth through the first week of life, these little darlings are totally dependent on their mother, who rarely leaves the whelping box.
This is a stage when the puppies are sleeping 90% of the time and eating the other 10%.
Before a pup is adopted, between 1 and 2 weeks, an amazing milestone has occurred. Their eyes have opened. Their retinas are still poorly developed, so they can't see much. But they're sensitive to light and begin to wobble around. And they're also becoming socialized, a process that centers around nursing.
Who is feeding first? Who feeds the most? Who's feeding last? A lot of these personality traits develop within those first 3 weeks.
Puppies that suckle first tend to be more dominant and self-confident as adults, while pups that are the last to nurse can be more submissive when fully grown. But all the pups feed in time, and by 3 weeks, all sorts of changes have occurred.
They're becoming more like dogs and less like little hamsters.
Their ears have opened, and they're responding to sound. They're beginning to stand and walk short distances. And their baby teeth, also called milk teeth, are starting to come in.
They use them interactively like young children would use their hands.
And like young children, puppies require playtime at this stage, with toys and siblings alike.
Dogs need to have all that social experience, rough and tumble play, chasing, in order to have their good social skills.
They still rely on mom for food, but they don't need her to be by their side all the time. Weaning begins at the 3-week mark, and that means being introduced to moist or blended puppy food for some meals. A messy endeavor indeed.
Come on! You can do it!
By 4 weeks of age, puppies' worlds are becoming technicolor, and Guiding Eyes knows it. They begin bringing month-old puppies into this early socialization room to expose them to a wide variety of stimuli.
Lots of sights and sounds and surfaces and people, so that they basically say, been there, done that, it was fine, and they become confident with it.
Their hearing is acute at 4 weeks, and although their vision is not fully developed yet, they're able to see. Even more amazing is how much they're already able to learn. Simple commands like sit, stand, and down are these puppies' first lessons. And when they get them right, they're even old enough to gloat.
Oh, and he's so proud.
It's very important to start training puppies from a very young age because puppies are like little sponges. They absorb so much information that's given to them.
At this stage, puppies are more independent, sturdier on their feet, and wildly curious about the world around them. But too much activity can still tire them out.
Looks like she needs a hammock.
Fluid! Fresca!
When it's time to feed, though, puppies perk up no matter what their age. At 4 weeks, they nurse less and eat solid foods more. They can even learn table manners.
Yes!
It's a good practice to hold the bowl up and to have the puppy sit before feeding. This does teach any puppy some nice patience and self-control.
The first 4 weeks of puppies' lives are filled with wonder and lay some significant groundwork. And if you want them to be healthy, keep them warm. Remember, they cannot regulate their body temperature until 3 weeks old. If mom strays from the whelping box, they still need temperatures in the 80s and 90s during these first weeks of life. Nursing keeps them alive, too. To receive proper nutrition, the pup's mother should consume puppy food during lactation because of its higher nutritional content. And newborn pups are indoor creatures the first few weeks. A warm and cozy whelping box with a minimum of distraction is all they need. In a nutshell, healthy puppies are warm puppies. Don't expose them to cold. Ensure good nutrition by making sure mom is fed puppy food at least twice her normal amount while nursing. And a whelping box is a must, so pups and mothers have a safe place to nest. After just over a month of tender, loving care, Widgeon's litter is thriving. All 7 pups have hit their development milestones. They're playing with each other, exploring on their own, and hungry for affection.
This is a beautiful litter, so I feel like it's a job well done.
And the time has come. Widgeon's puppies are ready to find a new home.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
There's no denying that puppies are adorable. Eyes bigger than a teddy bear's, floppy ears, itsy-bitsy bodies, darling faces.
They're just the cutest thing in the world.
The thing is, this fluffball is going to turn into an adult dog one day, So be sure to stop and smell the roses as he goes through some extraordinary transformations along the way. For starters, puppies grow at lightning speed.
You get them when they're like this big, and then like 3 weeks later, it's like, oh my God, what are you?
At 6 months, puppies have already reached 75% of their adult body weight. And it's not just their size that changes so drastically. Those little fur coats change too.
Weimaraners are born with a tigery stripe, which disappears.
Don't blink, because these adorable stripes don't last long. They fade just a few days after birth. Are these baby Dalmatian puppies missing their spots?
Dalmatians are born actually white, with no spots.
The spots will appear in the first few weeks of puppyhood. These cuter-than-cute Old English sheepdog puppies aren't going to be black and white for long.
Look at a golden retriever. They can have a much darker coat when they get older.
The same goes for the soft-coated Wheaton Terrier, the Bedlington Terrier. Now, you get the point. Puppies are like little chameleons. Check out that signature blue and black tongue on the Chow Chow and Shar Pei. Think they were born that way? Think again. That dark tongue actually starts out pink. And the straight tails on those pug puppies will curl up into ringlets in just a week. Look at those chocolate pudding eyes. Chances are this lab was not born that way.
Very often they're born with one eye color, and then they end up with another eye color.
In fact, most puppies are born with blue eyes that change to a different color by the time they're 6 months old. This Weimaraner pup's baby blues will gradually change to gray, gold, or greenish blue. This German Shepherd wasn't born with those perfectly pricked ears. Dogs like German Shepherds, Chihuahuas, and French Bulldogs are born with floppy ears that prick up between 2 and 6 months.
I think one of the most fascinating transformations that happens with puppies is you'll notice that the herders start to herd, the hound dogs become much more intensely aware of scents.
German Shorthair Pointers got that name for a reason. They know hunting and pointing at just a few months old. Dachshunds will burrow and dig in their whelping box. That desire to hunt badgers underground is built in. Check out this Australian Shepherd pup. At just 12 weeks old, he's doing a pretty good job keeping all his ducks in a row. Border Collies are another pooch wired with intense herding instincts that can emerge at just 6 weeks. This pup is 3 months old, and he's staring, crouching, and herding sheep like he's been doing it his whole life.
Whether it's herding or protection, you've got to be prepared to cater to those instincts.
You also have to cater to a puppy's changing teeth, something Widgeon's pups will soon deal with when their adult teeth start growing in.
And let me tell you, the first time your puppy chews up your Manolo Blahniks, you'll feel a little bit differently about that dog.
Who's chewing my shoe?
A puppy starts off with 28 milk teeth, all with shallow roots. At about 12 weeks, stronger rooted canine teeth start to erupt. Soon after, molars grow, leaving a pup with 42 adult teeth by the time they're 6 months old. You'll sometimes find the baby teeth in chew toys, or they're swallowed.
So this teething time is when you have to provide them with lots of things to chew on and teeth on. It's almost like a baby teething.
Now, chew on this. A puppy is considered an adult at the age of just 1 year. At this age, he's as physically mature as a 15-year-old human. So enjoy puppyhood and all the wonderful transformations while they last, because before you know it, they'll be all grown up.
They don't stay small forever. Wish they could, but they don't.
So, you think you're ready for a puppy?
Before picking out a puppy, you really need to ask yourself, am I committed to this for the next 15 years of my life?
You've got to think about exercise requirements, you've got to think about size, you've got to think about expense, you've got to think about grooming requirements.
Overwhelmed? Don't be. Dogs 101 will guide you through all the preparations needed to pick your perfect puppy. First, you have to consider your lifestyle.
What I would encourage everyone to do is write down their 5 favorite hobbies. And ask yourself, are these things I'm going to want my puppy to be a part of?
It's hard to estimate what your puppy will cost over its lifetime.
I mean, you've got food, you've got to buy them a bed, you've got to have your crate to train them properly, leashes, supplies, vet bills. That's probably the most expensive thing.
Another thought is size.
You've got to do your research and know what that puppy is going to grow into.
The paws are a great indicator of how large your new puppy will become. Grooming can be time-consuming. Longer coats mean more care, so take that into consideration when picking your pooch. Now that you've pondered your lifestyle, let's find a puppy.
You might want to think, how about rescuing a dog from a shelter? You can save a life.
60% of dogs that enter shelters are euthanized, simply because there's no one to adopt them.
Adopting a puppy from a shelter is also great fun. You might get a dog that looks like a Dalmatian, but acts more like a Husky.
There are some very simple tests you can do to help determine the temperament of your potential puppy.
You can roll them on their back in a gentle way and just see how they respond to handling, to picking, to lifting, and so on. See how they react with other dogs.
If your puppy is willing to be held, you most likely have a people-oriented puppy that will be at your side, willing to please for its lifetime. But if the puppy is wiggling, you should be prepared for a puppy that could be a training challenge and may be more independent as an older dog. In New York City, there is a program that matches puppies to people. Victoria Wells runs this one-of-a-kind program at the ASPCA.
The Meet Your Match program was implemented to correctly match up the right dog with the right home.
The puppies are assessed using a series of tests that can be performed by anyone. First, go into a room the puppy has never seen. Gauge her proximity to you. This will tell you if the puppy is independent or needy.
Right now, she's gravitating towards me. I think she's looking for a little security within a person. So she might be a little bit on the timid side. Bye-bye.
Is the puppy prone to separation anxiety? Leave her alone for a couple of minutes, then come back.
Hi, Stacy. I'm back. Come here. Hello. I'm back. Are you happy?
Well, that's good. I mean, she's happy to see me. I could tell by the whining that I heard through the door that she might have a little bit of an issue with being left alone.
Does this puppy want control? Grab her paw and hold it.
Well, she's really not giving me a problem. A lot of dogs will pull away. They'll even start to chew on your fingers.
To test predatory behavior, take a toy and start playing. Does puppy chase it or tug it?
She doesn't have much of a predatory instinct. I don't think she won't be chasing any small animals out there.
Food guarding can be an issue in a house with small children. To test this, give your puppy food, then take it away. To be safe, Victoria uses a fake hand. Good thing.
Ooh, ooh. It's funny to think that a small dog like this has a guarding issue.
Finally, is your puppy food-driven or play-driven? Both food and play can be a reward in training.
There you go. So she did a sit, which was good. And that just gives us some indication of her aptitude for training.
Once the results are calculated, this puppy will be assigned a color based on personality.
She is 4, which puts her in the purple category.
A purple rating is the easiest of puppies. Orange is a middle-of-the-road puppy, while the most difficult to train get the color green. Now tested, this puppy is ready to find its perfect match and forever home. Shelters can be great places to find a puppy, but some families prefer to use a breeder. Meet the Combs, Jason, Kim, Jillian, and Lauren. They talked about adding a puppy into their family for years, but it never seemed to be the right time.
I just didn't feel like I was ready for the responsibility of a puppy.
A year ago, they decided to start seriously looking for a puppy, but Jillian had some requirements.
I've always wanted a dog. I don't really like little dogs, though.
After doing their research, a lab fit their requirements.
We wanted a dog that was a little more mellow, a little more independent, easily trained.
For many people, finding a good breeder is difficult. They want to find one whose mission is to better the breed's health and temperament and not make a buck. Luckily for the Combs, Widgeon's mom, Sharon, is a family friend.
We just asked her when she planned on having another litter and how we could go about being on her waiting list. Sharon has been helping us identify which puppy would be a good fit for us.
The Comb family is a new dog family, so I wanted to make sure that they got a puppy that was both laid back as well as confident that was going to be easy for them to train.
5 weeks is a good age to make a selection because the puppy's personalities are in full bloom. Sharon, the breeder, thinks 2 puppies in particular would fit the Combs family.
Wanda and William, they're both extremely laid back, very intelligent, very bright puppies.
The Combs are coming to meet Wanda and William and decide who will be the new sibling to Jillian and Lauren.
So I think the two that would be best for your family is the yellow ribboned girl and the blue ribboned male.
Okay.
This one?
Oh,
hello.
Oh, she's really snuggly.
I think Mama has a connection with this one.
What do you think? She's
new and kissy. And what she's not. Hey.
You comfortable with this one?
I love her.
Yeah.
I think she likes it. What do you think?
I think it should be up to Jilly.
She likes me.
Yeah.
Is this your new sister? Yeah.
The new comb has been chosen, and her new name is Lola. Lola will spend 3 more weeks with her canine family to fully develop and socialize. Now that Lola is finally 8 weeks old, she's ready for her first vet exam. This visit ensures Lola is free from any infectious diseases.
All right. Okay, so she's in good shape too. No problems with her. Everything looks good.
Lola's health checks out. She's ready for her new family. But are the Combs ready for her? Like all puppies, Lola is going to need a lot of attention. Whether you live in an apartment or have tons of property, puppies need a stimulating environment. The right puppy can fit into any family. If you're a young, active couple, look for a lively puppy. If you have small children, find a puppy that's even-tempered and social. Try to determine early if your dog is motivated by food or play. This will help with training. So, on the whole, puppies need a stimulating environment and lots of socialization. There's nothing more important than picking a puppy that fits in with your family and lifestyle. And the motto for training is early and often.
Oh, puppies.
Now it's time to play Pick the Pooch. Which puppy is considered one of the easiest to housebreak? Can you guess which breed it is? Which puppy is the national dog of France and also one of the easiest breeds to housebreak? It's the standard poodle. Poodles tend to excel in all forms of obedience training, and housebreaking is no exception. Their smarts, combined with their strong desire to please, make training these puppies a snap. The Combs are counting the days till their new puppy comes home. They've even picked out a name, Lola. But what can they expect now that they're soon to be puppy parents? Before they even bring Lola home, the family is looking at some big changes. For Kim, the decision to become a puppy mommy hasn't been easy.
Kim has been the holdout. She's worried about the dog destroying the house.
I just wanted to wait until the time that I felt the time was right that we could handle the extra responsibility.
Job number one, make sure the home is ready for the puppy.
This business about what you do when you bring a puppy home, I mean, can be summarized in 2 words. Think ahead.
You want to have your house prepared?
Puppy-proofing a home is no simple task. Luckily for the Combs family, Dogs 101 expert Sarah Hodgson is making a puppy-proofing house call.
Hi.
I'm a little apprehensive because I know what's ahead of us. It is a brand new puppy.
Sarah loses no time finding potential puppy problem areas.
The wicker is delightful to chew. These little flaps, the puppy's going to love grabbing a hold of these with their little needle-sharp teeth. And this, the rug, is an absorbent surface, which invites piddles.
With no carpet and a simple layout, the kitchen is a great puppy room for the first few weeks, or until she's house-trained.
Now, the first thing I would encourage you to do is really think of everything on the same level as your puppy. So if you kneel down, you really see everything that will excite your puppy. I would definitely encourage you to pull these dish towels off, and then gate the area off. I want you to put a gate over here and a gate at the door.
But Kim and Jason are worried about the puppy chewing an antique in this room.
What is the best way to deter her from doing that?
Luckily, Sarah has a solution in her bag of tricks, non-toxic bitter spray. No puppy owner should be without it.
It's a bitter-tasting liquid that you use to spray on objects to discourage them.
Bitter spray is completely safe, but it tastes awful. The Combs have chosen the sunroom for a puppy den. Here's where they plan on crate training Lola. Crate training teaches a dog to accept the crate as a familiar, safe place to stay. Dogs are den-dwelling creatures, so a puppy will naturally draw comfort from a confined space. If you put the puppy in the crate when it gets tired, it should take to the crate in no time.
Tuck their little tail if they're a little resistant. Give them something pleasant to chew or a few little treats and go.
Crate training is also useful for housebreaking because a puppy will not eliminate where it sleeps. So, did they make the right choice for their crate training spot?
Would you recommend this room for her crate?
I wouldn't, and here's why.
Okay.
This room is very alive. You want to really bring the crate into the inner sanctum of your house, into a dark room.
It's clear the Combe family has their work cut out for them.
You're going to want to remember that when she comes home, she's going to be leaving her first mommy and her first siblings, and she's going to be a little sad and disoriented for a while.
The Combes get busy following Sarah's advice, puppy-proofing the home. Rugs are removed, gates put up, fragile items stored. It's a lot of work, but despite Kim's early resistance, she can't wait to finally welcome Lola home.
I'm very excited. It is a long time coming, so, you know, we're really viewing this as an addition to our family.
The day that's been circled on the calendar finally arrives. The family piles into the car to bring home the newest family member.
I'm so excited that we get to bring her home today.
The girls can barely contain their excitement.
Hi, Lola.
So cute.
At a healthy 16 pounds, 8-week-old Lola is ready to leave the nest. Breeder Sharon Wagner carefully goes through vet records, feeding and sleeping schedules, and a few quick puppy care tips.
Holy cow, this is more than when I brought you home.
She's a little princess.
I love her.
Are you ready to come home?
It's a day of joy for the Combes. This ride home will also be a critical first step in their relationship with Lola.
You want this to be as relaxing a car ride home as possible. Bring something old from their whelping box, a toy, a rag that they slept on. Bring something new, something that has familiar scents from your home.
With something old and something new in the crate, Lola is a little more comfortable, but she can still sense that her world is about to change. The Combe family has already made some major adjustments to get ready for Lola. But the real work of raising a puppy has only just begun. It's been quite a journey for Lola. We followed her from birth to adoption. She's now enjoying her first day as a member of the Combe family. But how will Lola do her first night?
Of course, there's a little nerves as far as, you know, keeping an eye on her. She's going to keep us up at night.
Playtime just before bed is a good way to get a puppy tired enough to sleep soundly. Also, make sure to put away food and water in the early evening. This will reduce middle-of-the-night bathroom trips. It's also a good idea to encourage an elimination before bed. If a puppy sleeps for a few hours and then starts crying, it probably needs the bathroom. You'll have to get up and take it to the toilet area.
To start with, you may still have to get up at 4:30 in the morning for a couple of weeks. It's like having a new baby.
But if it cries incessantly, the puppy is likely scared to be alone. A little tough love is the best remedy. A soothing hand to comfort the puppy is fine, but don't coddle it. Let the puppy cry, as hard as it is. Hopefully, within a night or two, it will adjust to sleeping alone. After Lola's big first day, she surprises everyone by sleeping through the night.
She whined a little bit, I would say maybe for half an hour, and then she settled in and she slept right through the night.
Dogs 101 expert Sarah Hodgson helped the Combes puppy-proof their home. Lola's now been with the family for a week, and Sarah's back to see how everyone's doing.
Sarah, our biggest problem right now is nipping.
Like a newborn infant, Lola uses her mouth as a way to interact with the world around her. Nipping is also a way for her to communicate.
Whereas a human baby will cry with a puppy will mouth when they have need confusion.
Luckily, most experts agree at 8 to 10 weeks of age, puppies gain cognitive learning activity. Which is good, because Lola needs to learn that nipping is a no-no. So, what's Sarah's preferred method to discourage nipping? Butter.
And what you want to be communicating is that the puppy has to treat skin differently than fur.
First, you apply a little frozen butter to the skin. Frozen butter is used because it won't melt and is less messy. Sarah says the puppy will lick the butter and not bite the skin. You should also monitor children, as some play can encourage nipping. Responsible play leads to proper socialization and sets the foundation for training. No one knows that better than Animal Planet's expert trainer, Zach George. Today, Zach's going to lend a hand to Hill and her 10-week-old Border Collie puppy, Bee.
She's never been on a leash before, so we'll see how she does.
Proper leash training is critical to keeping dogs safe and secure.
We're going to start off with some leash training today because that's a very fundamental part of teaching a young dog. They've got to be comfortable on that leash so that we can control their environment. It's very normal for them to bite at it and feel at it to see what it is that's around them. They're very curious about it. What we don't want to do is pull on that leash initially.
B seems to take to the lead line well, so Zach transitions her to the 6-foot leash. A special treat, in this case turkey, is used to encourage B to stay close.
So this is a form of recurrency here. We want her to know that it pays, so to speak, to stay near us.
It'll take a few days for B to really get it, but she's definitely a quick study. Before going to the next level, Zach introduces B to another training tool, the clicker.
This sound means, good dog, I like what you did, you win a prize.
Okay.
What do you think the prize is going to be here?
Turkey.
Beautiful. You got it exactly right. Beautiful.
Once clicker conditioning is set, B is ready to learn come when called and stay. These are critical commands, and they're not just about discipline. They can save a life.
Just because our dog wants to run into the street and chase a squirrel doesn't mean it's okay.
The key to teaching this command is to convince the puppy that it pays to obey.
Always call them in a happy voice. The crazier you act, the happier you act, the more likely they're gonna come to you.
B catches on quickly, but how will she do with stay?
Very important to incorporate visual and verbal signals with stay. Stay. 1, 2, 3. Yes, very nice. Notice, I mean, eye to eye, this is where training happens.
Hill uses both visual and clear verbal commands. She emphasizes her commands by clicking and treating when B obeys. And there's no doubt B is eager to please.
Teaching a dog is not about dominating them, it's about communicating with them.
Like many new puppy parents, housebreaking is the first trick the Combs want to teach Lola.
When a puppy is very young, they have no sphincter control. Anything that's in the belly or in the intestines gets pushed right out.
Accidents are inevitable with puppies because the bladder is still developing.
Pick a toilet area that's easy to find. Put them in a neat little corner off to the periphery of their play area.
The Combs have opted to go straight for outdoor housebreaking. It's a good idea to start housebreaking by 6 to 8 weeks.
Each time you take the puppy out, you want to have an identifiable word, outside, and take the puppy to the door.
Sarah hangs a small bell near the door at muzzle level. The idea here is to condition Lola to ring the bell when she needs to eliminate. The key to housebreaking is routine and reward. Deliberate use of affection and attention is a must.
Good girl.
So when it's time for Lola to go, she's taken directly outside with as little fuss as possible.
Use your attention to reinforce her cooperation.
No puppy will be housebroken overnight. Accidents happen. When they do, harsh discipline will get you nowhere.
You never correct a potty accident in the house. Rubbing your dog's nose in it, spanking them to try and relay the point that, look, you've just done a bad thing is absolutely ineffective.
Lola is well on her way to becoming the perfect pup. Now she's about to begin the next step in her training. She'll learn skills that just might save her life. Lola the puppy is growing up by leaps and bounds. She's now nearly 12 weeks old. As she quickly matures, she's now at the threshold of a big moment in her young puppy life.
We're taking her to her first day of school.
Puppy kindergarten may sound like fun and games, but it actually provides a puppy with skills that can save its life. As tragic as it sounds, antisocial behavior like biting can make a dog dangerous and may require it to be put down. That's why properly socializing a puppy is so important.
The more they encounter, the more people, the more dogs, the more animals they encounter, the more manageable they are going to be for the rest of their life.
Nicole Boulanger and Sherry Sarris preside over puppy kindergarten. It's sort of like puppy class 101.
Puppy socialization class is important because up until about 16 weeks, we have this really wide window where we can help form the puppies into confident, happy members of the family.
The class is as much about training the parents as puppies. In fact, the class begins with puppy parents airing concerns.
We're having an issue with the nipping as well.
We let the owners air their grievances to start with because while their puppies are very cute, they can be very frustrated with them.
Then comes agility training. This isn't about winning best in show. Here, puppies learn how to navigate stairs, inclines, and other obstacles they'll encounter every day. And finally, it's time for puppy play. Lola starts out a little shy, but in no time, she's making friends.
I think she did a great job. I think it was good to see her interact with the other dogs.
Lola still has a lot of growing to do, but her new family is providing a supportive, comfortable, and patient home. For the Combs, what they're giving to Lola pales in comparison to what she's giving them.
I love her. She's everything I imagine.
Lola's like my best friend.
Is it the sheer cuteness? Perhaps it's the innocence, or maybe it's the unquestioning loyalty and love. Whatever it is, it's clear. Puppies have a hold on us.
There's so much joy that comes from raising a puppy well. They love you with that unconditional, endless devotion.
At 12 weeks old, your puppy is starting to look and act more like a dog, but family members still need to handle with care.
A puppy is much more like a young child than a stuffed animal.
Between 8 and 12 weeks, it's important to begin socialization and obedience training.
The first time you're able to teach your puppy how to sit down, the first time you're able to successfully get that puppy to go potty outside, you feel like you've won a marathon.
It's now time to expose your puppy to as many experiences as possible, but it's important to keep the environment controlled and safe. Avoid extreme temperatures for sure. Between 8 and 12 weeks, puppies are also specifically vulnerable as they go through a vaccination program.
Make sure that any dogs you introduce were healthy and vaccinated.
Every puppy is unique, and some breeds develop quicker than others. But in general, at 8 to 12 weeks, puppies are specifically vulnerable to diseases. Puppies are ready to explore, but keep them in a safe, temperature-controlled environment. Training and socialization should definitely be well underway. And remember, it's still more like an infant than a robust adult dog.
Good girl, Laura. Good girl.
So, to sum up, if you're thinking about a puppy, consider your lifestyle when choosing the kind of dog you want. Look into adopting from a shelter. If you go to a breeder, check their reputation. You want to pick out your puppy when it's about 5 weeks old and take him home around 8 weeks. Training can begin as soon as the puppy comes home. Check with your vet to get on a vaccine schedule. And begin socializing your new family member early. Remember, a new pet is a commitment. You're going to care for a dog for 15 years or more. If you've made up your mind, do your homework. Check out PetFinder.com and choose your next best friend wisely.